Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Into the 8 o'clock hour we go. How are people feeling about the offensive line? We'll get to that in just a little bit. But two names off the board this weekend for the Texans. One of these deals I would not have done. One of these deals I would have done. We've not talked yet, Seth, about Cooper Kupp getting 3 years, $45 million from his home state, Seattle Seahawks. We should point that out. Cooper Kupp is a hero in the state of Washington. Went to Eastern Washington, was a mid-round pick, and he's obviously had a very good NFL career, highlighted by a Hall of Fame caliber season in 2021. He's been banged up since then, and he's in his 30s. Which makes 3 years, $45 million. I haven't seen the guaranteed money on it, but I'm guessing it's pretty decent. I'm out on Cooper Kupp at 3 years, $45 million.
It's that price. A 15 was my upper limit for a Cooper Kupp, $15 million per year. And a lot of the projections had him going like from 8 to $12 million per year, and I thought maybe in a two-year deal. He's missed four or more games due to injury in each of the last three seasons. And he's 32 years old. And with the Texans trading for Christian Kirk, I really just didn't have any appetite for then also adding another guy making a chunk of money like this, who also is best in the slot, because Christian Kirk's already a slot. So if you have, you know, Christian Kirk being there, I don't think it prevents you from drafting another slot receiver. Landry Lockhart had a good post about various times with the Patriots and the Rams that it's worked on an offense with having a couple of slot-type receivers. Mm-hmm. Usually that's when one of those guys is on his rookie contract.
Okay.
I don't think it's not necessarily something that you want to pay big money for.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't... Yeah, this didn't hurt me or bother me at all. I figured the Texans were going to be out on Cooper Kupp unless they got him at a really good bargain on a very short-term deal.
Yep. The other one was Mekhi Becton to the Chargers for 2 years, $20 million. Mekhi Becton, guard for the Eagles last year on a Super Bowl-winning offensive line. Prior to that, he was looking more like a bust as a tackle drafted by the Jets. But the Eagles kind of rehabilitate his career, position change to guard. Sounds like he's going to play guard for the Chargers. So he's accepted his new home, Seth. He hasn't looked at guard as a halfway house towards becoming a tackle again. 2 years, $20 million. I'd have done that one, I think.
And I looked at this, when you look at the Laremy Tunsil trade, just for whatever reasons they traded Laremy Tunsil, at the very, very minimal, they saved a whole bunch of cap space. $14 million this year, $28.5 million next year. And I thought, yeah, maybe that puts them in position to go out and sign a free agent for $10 million. Somebody who makes $10 million a year or so. And then you can go with the draft elsewhere. Maybe make a signing like Laken Tomlinson for one of the guard positions that was a very affordable one-year deal. So this is one of those deals that I was hoping the Texans would be in on. There are a few guards that I think are probably better at this point in their careers than Laken Tomlinson that got deals around $8, $9, $10 million per year. I would have been very happy with Mekhi Becton.
Yeah, and I think
when I went and watched Laken Tomlinson play the Texans in 2023.
Yeah,
that was back when Mekhi Becton was still playing offensive tackle. Oh my God, It was a good idea to move him to guard.
Yeah,
he had some. He helped Jonathan Grenard get paid. Mekhi Becton.
Oh yeah,
Jonathan Grenard just destroyed him on an inside move. Almost injured the precious Zach Wilson with a low sack, low tackle on a sack.
Oh, that was that was the CJ got concussed game. Yeah.
Well, yeah, Quinnen Williams is already paid and already. Laken Tomlinson had a good battle in that game versus, so I'm talking about Laken Tomlinson now, not Mekhi Becton.
Right.
Laken Tomlinson had a pretty good battle with Malik Collins for much of the day, but then got beat really badly on a sack at the end of the game. So with Laken Tomlinson, I think you get a guy who's been very durable and healthy, a guy that's very fundamentally sound and smart. He's a Duke guy who plays like it means something to be a Duke guy. He looks like an intelligent player when it comes to picking up blitzes and everything else like that. But I don't think he's the antidote to Quinnen Williams concussing C.J. Stroud on a biannual basis for the rest of time.
Is he swarmier than your average Dukey?
Oh yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
When I just hear Duke University, I don't think swarm. You know?
Right. Yeah. No, it's interesting with Tomlinson. I think because he is very fundamentally sound, you see when he was playing with the 49ers, when that offense was really humming and the offensive line was playing really well, I think you get the very best out of him as long as he's playing alongside other competent players. He goes to the Jets for a couple years and then the Seahawks, and he got a little bit older. I don't think he fundamentally changed as a football player, but the performance wasn't as good because I don't think he was in a good ecosystem.
Okay.
So he's not. I don't think he's a guy that's going to change the ecosystem. But if you've got other good players next to him, if you've got a guy playing left tackle really well, if you've got a good center, then you can get very, very credible play out of him.
People texting in about the offensive line on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, text message. I've given Nick Caserio more leeway than most. I don't mind the occasional bust or move that doesn't work, but I have to admit, as of right now, I don't see how the Texans are going to not take a step back, even if they do draft some badass linemen that will need time to develop. So that's somebody who's nervous about the offensive line. Maybe not outright panic like we had in our poll that we put up, the poll I put up on Friday. I asked the audience, how are you feeling right now about the plan for fixing the offensive line? Outright panic, wait and see, let Nick cook. 55% of the people are wait and see, 32% are let Nick cook. So there's only 13% of people who are in outright panic right now. But I think some of them are texting the show as I solicit the responses to that question. How am I feeling about the offensive line? I'm starting to get scared. This is another texter. I hope Nick has something up his sleeve. We'll see. hope he's going to move up in the draft and surprise us. Make a double move like he did 2 years ago. He's done a lot of maneuvering in the draft. I don't know what the chances are they stay at 25. I think it's going to be, if I had to guess, I think it's going to be a night of the draft thing. Kind of see how the board falls and whatnot. So that's a couple people texting in there. Caserio does it again, trades Kenyon Green, and already has an exact replica ready to acquire. I didn't think that was possible. I think they're saying that Ed Ingram is basically Kenyon Green 2.0. Keep texting in, 713-572-4610 on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. More questions coming in for Alex Earl as well. people wanting us to use big old man words when we talk to Alex Earl. Keep texting those in. Alex Earl, Braxton Berrios' girlfriend. This is another text message. I don't want the Rockets or the Texans to get any old big name expensive players. So I was okay with Cup not coming to the Texans, and I don't want Durant to come to the Suns or Booker develop the young players. I'm with you on that. Especially on the Rockets side of things. My feeling all along on the Rockets was keep the young nucleus in place, let them go through a postseason together, and then assess what you need based on how they play in the postseason, because that's a different style of basketball than the regular season.
Yeah.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Hey, did you happen to catch the videos of Stephon Diggs working out?
I did.
Yeah.
He looked pretty good. He
looked really spry, man. Do we know that those are current videos? That's my first question always. I'm like, all right. Is his hair the same as it was when I saw him on TV a week ago? You know,
it was on his Instagram. So yeah, I'm guessing they're his. I don't think Stephon Diggs is in the business of misleading people with videos of workouts long ago.
Okay, he was doing like a cone drill, and then he was doing another drill where he had on like an elastic band that was kind of holding him back a little bit.
Yeah, so he looked good. I thought, when did he get injured?
Week eight. October the 27th against the Indianapolis Colts.
He's 5 months out. You start doing, if rehab's going well, you can be doing drills like that at 5 or 6 months. So he would be seemingly fully on track. I mean, some people make a full comeback after 6 months, but there's no reason for him to hurry it. So I would say that's a good sign. Yeah. I wonder, though, if he is just going to wait until after the draft.
That's what I wonder. The biggest thing for me, like, okay, this is a receiver market that is not great. Cooper Kupp just got 3 years, $45 million, which is more years and money than I think both you and I thought he would get.
Yeah.
That's what I'm wondering, like, what's the biggest reason why Stephon Diggs hasn't signed? Is it the ACL? Is it the legal situation? Or is it him? You know, as you just pointed out, Seth, like, he may want to make sure he gets a clean bill of health on the ACL, because he's going to get more money if he's ready to go. I'm guessing he's not fully recovered yet.
Well, the big thing, too, is he's doing stuff where he looks really quick. It's impossible to say, okay, he's not running these drills, doing them next to other NFL wide receivers. So how quick is he compared to his normal quickitude? I don't know. But, like, this is the normal timeline. So then it's, does he continue to improve in advance, and then does he not have any setbacks? His best payday, I'm guessing, is sometime after the draft, maybe right before training camp.
Mm.
And I think, you know, you might think, okay, yeah, plus he's getting up there in years. Maybe he just wants to miss training camp altogether. He's a workaholic.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case at all.
When we watched him work in mini camps and in training camp last year, there was no part of the way Stephon Diggs operated where it looked like he wanted to cruise. He was not on the Laremy Tunsil plan.
Yes.
But he looked like he wanted to get work with CJ, with the other receivers, everything else like that. So I'm guessing it's after the draft, before training camp, and with enough time to really get ingrained in an offense.
I can see that. This texter captures how I'm feeling about the offensive line, I think, more than anything else. Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Texter says, honestly, I'm of the opinion that it really can't be that much worse than last year. All we need is the line to be functional, not all world. Like, if they can just block, we'll be okay. And I would add block and not look really, really stupid in the process. Like, picking up stunts and games up front would be a big step.
There were a bunch of things going on last year that it was almost impossible to point out what the major issue was with the offensive line, because they were doing so many things poorly that you can't... It's almost impossible that with just better coaching and this current group of talent, they should be better if the coaching is better than they were last year. And that's where, when people say, well, how can you get rid of Laremy Tunsil? He was the only good pass protector on that offensive line last year. How could you do it? I guess the argument would be, they were one of the worst offensive lines in the league last year with Laremy Tunsil. If you clear up the cap space and you just get credible play along the board, then they should be better than last year.
Yeah.
And that Laremy Tunsil clears up cap space, which can be used on the offensive line and the rest of the team. You're trying to get better as an offense. And, like, as we saw last year, Laremy Tunsil being a good pass protector, an okay run blocker, pretty much an extreme negative on screen blocking, which I feel like isn't harped on enough but drives me insane, that's what the plan would be, is that it's got to be that Nick Caley is just better at engineering and designing a run game than Bobby Slowick was. And we talked about this all last offseason. The Texans were not actually a genuinely good offense in 2023. They had to establish that Bobby Slowick could engineer a run game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because in the modern NFL, you have to have an awesome rushing attack or anything, but at the very least, when teams are playing a bunch of zone and cover two against you, you got to be able to take advantage of those opportunities to run the ball. And they couldn't do it. Even in an environment where it should have been easy to run the ball, the Texans couldn't run the ball. I think they'll be better in that regard this year.
Yeah.
They'll be a better overall offensive line.
I'll blindly say right now, without even knowing what moves are coming in free agency, without knowing what their strategy is or who they're taking in the draft, I'll blindly say this is going to be a better offensive line than the one they just trotted out there last year, because it can't get worse, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, it can't. That was so bad last year.
You look at various rankings of offensive lines. I'm on ProFootballNetwork.com's right now. Texans were, drum roll, 32nd by their estimation.
Wow. Yeah. It was bad, man. It was really, really bad. More texts coming in. When Seth mentioned Connerly Jr., if you missed it, in the mock draft injection, the Pro Football Focus mock draft had the Texans taking Oregon tackle Josh Connerly. When Seth mentioned Connerly was picking up a stunt well, I let out an audible, oh.
Oh, okay. So this is one, by way of just explaining what I'm talking about, when can you just get competent, intelligent play out of your offensive line? One of the plays that I got most excited about when I was watching Lake and Tomlinson had nothing to do with pancaking anybody or having a great one-on-one pass rush rep or anything. It was that his guy, Malik Collins, was over him. Malik Collins had dropped off into coverage. And Lake and Tomlinson scanned, kept his shoulders square to the line of scrimmage, and instead of, like, trying to be a big tough guy and go hit the nose tackle in the ribs.
Yeah.
He went over and helped the center, but kept open for other possibilities. Oh, like, oh, maybe the defensive end comes inside. Maybe Malik Collins re-enters the rush. All those times last year where you'd feel like, oh, this guy's trying to be a good dude and help out his buddy. But, like, a guard would go to help out the center and completely miss that there was a twist going on.
Just vacate the premises.
Or the defensive end came inside. Yeah. Yeah, and just had a clear path to the quarterback. Like, yeah, good, conservative, intelligent play. I got excited about that. It was like, Sean, you know what? This is where I get excited about now. You know, my dad was a colorful individual.
He was a
genius, creative, ambitious in all these respects, but he lacked consistency. He would get these incredible ideas, and he would pursue it like hell for like 3 months and then flame out and then on to the next. And so my mom, when she inevitably that marriage had come to an end, it was not my mom's fault. She married an accountant, my stepfather Pete, who couldn't have been more opposite of my dad, other than that he's also very intelligent.
Yeah.
And Pete is an awesome, awesome, awesome stepdad because he's consistent.
Yes.
He doesn't do anything over the top or have anything. Like, he is the picture of an accountant.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want right now.
You want accountants?
I want accountants. I want my stepfather to be playing left guard for the Texans more so than anything else.
I don't need
a rock star left guard, okay?
We need five Petes. That's what we need. Petes on the offensive line.
And then we can build from there.
Sure.
Okay? But first and foremost, give me consistency and competence.
Yeah.
Then and we realistic business expenses.
Right. Payne and Pendergast with you here on a Monday. Good to be rolling with you here on a Monday. All right. Framber Valdez is accomplishing something only a few other Astros have done. And there's a hypothetical out there for a contract extension for Framber. Would you do this? I think I would. We'll have that for you coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
It's really weird. Yesterday, Amy and I were walking down the hall. We're getting ready to go out yesterday afternoon. And for some reason, she asked me, she's like, hey, who's starting opening day for the Astros? And I said, I'm not sure. If I had to guess, probably either Framber or Hunter Brown. And then literally 10 seconds later, I get a push notification from the Astros. It was almost like I'd asked Siri, you know, like push notification comes from the Astros. No, Siri, I'm not talking to you.
Or like your phone had been listening in on
you. And like
pushed
here,
it up into the algorithm. Yeah.
It pushes out an Astros tweet that has a big graphic of Framber Valdez. It says fourth straight year opening
Maybe
day
Joe
starter.
Maybe Joe Espada was listening to you.
Could have been. Could have been. And said, hey, social media team, push this out. Get Sean. Smarten him up. Smarten him up. But Framber, man, what is he? He's the fourth consecutive opening day nod for Framber, which makes him part of elite company for the Astros.
The only four other pitchers have done that in the Astros history. All of them right-handers.
Mm-hmm.
Roy Oswalt, J.R. Richard, Mike Scott. And as you so disrespectfully pointed out,
yeah,
a guy whose name isn't as lofty as those other three guys, Shane Reynolds. All I wanted to do is read a list of the guys who have started four consecutive opening days for the Astros, and I read the list, and you're like, Shane Reynolds?
What the hell? I was a little dismissive of him. Well, I was here back in the late 90s when Shane was the ace of the staff, and those are some really good Astros teams. But for like an ace pitcher, like the peak Roy Oswalt was one of the best pitchers in baseball. Peak, yeah. J.R. Richard was, man, to see what he could have been if he hadn't had that stroke. Like Mike Scott was the best pitcher in baseball at one point. Shane Reynolds was a grinder. He was very good for the Astros. It's just like, wow, one of these things is not like, he just was never dominant like those,
yeah,
guys were. That's all. So I lived through that era. But
Framber is much more in line with those
with
first
those guys.
Guys
that
yeah,
we that's
about yeah.
Yeah,
the last three seasons, first in wins, fifth in innings pitched, and that's a big part of him being such a,
yes,
horse, especially when the Astros have had the injuries they've had.
Yeah,
and sixth in ERA.
Yeah,
in the last three seasons.
Yeah, he's been one of the best pitchers in baseball, but for the last three seasons.
I guess the big question, the thing that we're not wringing our hands over incredibly vigorously just yet, but man, is he going to get Kyle Tucker'd, Sean?
Is he?
Tell me he's not going to get Kyle Tucker'd.
I think the only way, you mean like traded away for prospects, that kind
somehow
of thing?
Somehow, like the only possible way that would happen is if the All-Star break, the Astros are,
if they're bad,
disappointing.
Yeah, if they're not in contention. And we saw last year, if they were buyers last year with what they were near the trade deadline, you know, it's hard to imagine them being, they were so bad throughout. I mean, they didn't get back to 500 till like late June or early July, you know?
When Adam Spillane asked Dana Brown a couple weeks ago in his interview with Adam asked Dana if there had been any conversations with Framber about an extension. And Dana kind of tried to, you know, be vague about it, and he was starting to answer, and then Adam said, but none recently,
yeah,
and Dana was like, nope, none recently.
He said, if I recall, we should go find the audio. I should have found
it. In the last 2 years, we've had conversations. We had something about in the last 2 years.
It was in the last couple of years we've talked about it, and I was like, okay, Dana, you've been the GM for 2 years. So it basically means you've had a conversation about it at some point since you became the GM. Would you, so the Athletic has, Seth, a bunch of players who are potential, they're there for potentially they could get extensions. They called it extension week last week. So getting a deal done sometime before the season starts. Now, Kyle Tucker is on this list. They put him into tiers where the tier one is get the deal done now. It's got guys like Paul Skeens and Garrett Crochet, George Kirby, Ellie De La Cruz, like young guys who are really good. And then makes more sense for the team. Kyle Tucker is actually in there. They propose an 11-year, $336 million contract. Whoa. For Kyle Tucker. Yeah, Jim Crane was never doing that. This is what they proposed for Framber. 5 years, $134 million.
Do it. What are you, yell at Jim Crane?
There you go.
Do
that.
It.
Yeah.
5 years, he's going to be 32 this year,
yeah,
but he's a hoss.
Yes.
He just eats up innings. Roll me out there. He'd pitch nothing but complete games if you asked him to.
It's $27 million a year, and it would kick in next year because he's already under contract for this year. And this is what I would remind people is that they've got Jose Abreu's contract coming off the books next year. They've got Rafael Montero's bad contract coming off the books next year. So there's money that's getting opened, and there's always ways to maneuver. You know, they traded Presley this past year to get rid of that, get out from underneath that salary.
Yeah,
I would do 5 years, $134 million for Framber, and my guess is it hasn't gotten done yet because Framber's camp wants more like 8 years. They want a contract that's going to take him through his 30s.
I think I wonder if you pull, if you put up a Pender poll,
yeah,
and by the response of our listeners just in general, I'm curious. I think most people are probably, I think more people would be reluctant to give him that big of a contract for a five-year deal for to a 32-year-old.
$27 million a year?
Yeah, yeah, I think part of it with Framber, there's a couple things working against Framber, just I think in the minds of the fan base. For one, it was just, I don't feel like he's ever lost the stain of his early career erraticism. Is that a word? His erratic play when he used to Framber in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how consistent he's been since then, since he got it under control, I feel like there's just still a little bit of hesitation in people's minds. And then second is that his postseason performances haven't been as impressive as his regular season.
He's very up and down. It's like one year he's good, one year he's bad. Yeah, that's fair. And I think he's older than people think too. I think if you ask the average Astros
fan, because he's one of the many Latin American prospects that the Astros brought in as old men by apparently baseball standards forever.
Yeah.
Ooh, he's 19. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no, he's older than you think, man. But he will be the, if I had to guess on social media, he will be the annual hashtag pay the man that we've got one of those every year, you know, because there's always a free agent getting ready to bust loose.
Where are you on 5 years, 100?
I'm for it. I would do it. I would do it because if you got a little money coming off the books next year, the veteran guys you have are kind of, you know, you've got this team, you got kind of this core together for the next 3 years, you know.
You know which trade wasn't going to happen?
What's that?
Vlad Guerrero Jr. projected contract.
Yeah.
15 years, $450 million. Except does he have 2 years left?
No, one.
He's just 1 year. These are all guys with 1 year.
Yeah.
So that trade wasn't going to happen as much as I dreamed of a Vlad Guerrero Jr.
It's the craziest. So I was sitting outside one day drinking at my local watering hole, and they always have ESPN on the TV there, and they had the ticker at the bottom of the screen a few weeks ago when Vlad Guerrero Jr. and the Toronto Blue Jays came to their stalemate where they, you know, he's like, well, I'm not signing, and well, we're not going here with the money. And the ticker at the bottom of the screen said that Vlad Guerrero Jr. not signing with something to the effect of not signing with the Blue Jays, who wouldn't get to $600 million.
Oh my God.
Some number. It was either $500 or $600 million. It was some crazy number. And I'm like, if you were in carbon freeze for even like 15 years and got plunked down into 2025 and you're reading something on the ticker that says a player is walking away from a deal because a team couldn't get to $600 million.
$600 million
to play baseball.
Okay, so they're here. They're saying in this article another 5 or 6 win WAR season could push him over $500 million.
Yeah.
So is he all right? So $600 million isn't enough for Vlad Guerrero Jr.?
I'd have to go see exactly what the number was at the bottom of the ticker. My overall point was just the number is so silly these days. Team couldn't get to, if it was $500 million, it sounds just as silly. You know what I'm saying?
I wonder how much of a wrinkle just the current economic conditions and the, you know, the tension between the U.S. and Canada. I wonder how much that might factor into. I have zero idea on this. Anybody, before anybody mansplains to me how dumb I am on this, I'm admitting when it comes down to an actual individual making money in Toronto now and given the, you know, the current tension, it feels like it might have to be something that you have to think about or worry. I don't know. I don't have a clue.
Somebody
So actually go ahead and mansplain it to me about how this might be either a barrier for the Blue Jays or an advantage or something else like that.
Okay, according to The Athletic's Ken Rosenthal, Guerrero rejected an extension offer in excess of $500 million.
No, gosh. I have one rule in life, Sean, and maybe this makes me a bad business person. I have always said, if somebody offers me $500 million to do something that's fun to do,
dude,
I'm just going to take it.
Yes.
I'm not going to play hardball at that point. That's my line, okay? Hey, maybe I'm just, you know, maybe I'm a little too easygoing. But if I promise you, if Odyssey comes to me with a $501 million contract offer tomorrow, I'm not going to overthink it.
No.
I'm just going to take it. And I will not be plagued with thoughts of like, oh, it could have been $600 million or something.
That is some balls, man. To have a piece of paper in front of you, figuratively.
Yeah, I know.
A piece of paper in front of you that says, we're going to pay you $500 million. And then say,
crazy. I'm not criticizing him for it. I just don't. I know.
I wouldn't be able to do it either.
Yeah, I would start laughing.
Yeah.
If it was face-to-face, I would start, like, giggling and laughing.
Really?
And I'd be, like, looking around to be sure this wasn't a simulation of some sort.
Right, right.
And I'm like, yeah, why not? For all I know, I don't know. The pigs are actually flying. I don't know.
$500 million, right? It says dollars right here. It says this is dollars. And then you look. He spelled it with one L or something like that. Tricked you. Text message on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. This is about the Texans offensive line. I'd rather have five serviceable guys that work great as a unit rather than one exceptional individual pose as a team player with four serviceable guys that can't get on the same page. That's from Sonny Steve on the text
line. Yeah, it really is. I think that I think it's one of those situations that people in Houston understand maybe better than outside observers do. If they're just checking in on the Texans and they think, oh yeah, the offensive line was bad, Laremy Tunsil was really good in pass protection, why on earth would you do that? That there was just so much more to it.
Yeah.
And that you need to get to a point where at the very least you have five serviceable offensive linemen. Or even four serviceable guys and one guy that's questionable. Just, you've got to get back to just baseline competence. And with Laremy, there were, like, I don't even want to rehash everything about the false starts or the poor run blocking or mediocre run blocking or anything else like that. He was costing a lot of money on an offensive line that was the fifth highest paid offensive line in football last year. They had to reset the deck and at the very least be spending as much as you're getting out of that group.
Okay, we've got Texans news here, and we can see why Nick Caserio was cleaning out some cap space.
Oh.
Record deal for Derek Stingley Jr. 3-year, $90 million extension, including $89 million guaranteed. This according to Adam Schefter.
You see? This is the way. This is the way for both the players and the teams. You want fully guaranteed contracts, sign a shorter-term deal, and do it up front. The team knows what they're spending. You're somewhat protected because of injuries and whether a guy falls off. They did it with Danielle Hunter 2 years ago or last offseason.
Yeah.
And good. This is the way Caserio has been headed for a while. Like, he gives guys, he's not afraid to pay him, but he's going to do it on a shorter term deal.
All right, do we like this deal? 3 years, $90 million, nearly all of it guaranteed for Derek Stingley Jr. Let's talk about it. We're up against it. Let's talk about it when we come back. So if you missed the news, Derek Stingley Jr. is going to be a Houston Texan for several more years. We'll hit that coming up next. Stay there.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatment to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
All right, if you missed it, previous segment came down, the news, Derek Stingley Jr. becomes the highest paid defensive back in the history of the NFL. By, if we're going by average annual value, by a pretty tidy sum, he is signing a 3-year, $90 million contract, Derek Stingley is, with nearly all of it guaranteed. $89 million guaranteed, according to Adam Schefter. Here's the tweet. Report record deal. Texans All-Pro cornerback Derek Stingley Jr. has agreed to a 3-year, $90 million extension, including $89 million guaranteed. A $30 million base value per year. Stingley is now the highest paid defensive back in NFL history. The cornerback market has been completely reset. So the same thing that happened to the non-QB market with Myles Garrett a week ago, where he was getting $40 million a year and it jumped over Justin Jefferson, that's happening by even a bigger percentage in the cornerback market. Now, the highest paid corner before this news was J.C. Horn, and I think Derek Stingley Jr. is a significant bump above J.C. Horn. And Seth, I think that's what's reflected here, is at the top of the cornerback market had turned into one of those things where you got guys who are good players kind of jumping over each other by a little bit. And the fact of the matter is that Derek Stingley Jr. is he's not $100,000 better than J.C. Horn. When healthy, he's way better than J.C. Horn.
Right, and I think that's the big question. And we wondered how would the health factor into this, in that Derek Stingley last year had his first fully healthy season, and he was an All-Pro. And he'd shown the ability to play at that level before. He just hadn't been able to stay on the field. So you can see from the Texans' perspective, they might be a little bit nervous about giving guy a long extension if he hasn't had multiple healthy seasons. And this goes back to his college days as well. But it also is something that Caserio's been doing pretty consistently, starting with Laremy Tunsil and then with other guys like Nico Collins and other players. When he extends them, he's not going to give them a 4 or 5 year extension. It's a 3-year deal, and it keeps that carrot on the stick. It allows you to plan more in the short term and keep cap space. You know, you're not kicking a bunch of spending down the road. So I like it. I'm a fan of it. For NFL players who have been whining forever about not having guaranteed contracts, You can get a guaranteed contract. You just got to sign a shorter term deal. Danielle Hunter did it last year.
Yeah.
Danielle Hunter's contract was almost completely guaranteed on a 2-year deal. Nick obviously did that deal as well. So I like it. I'm really excited for Derek Stingley. I think he's the classic kind of guy that will probably work out 2 extra hours today instead of planning a trip to Egypt or something. He's probably gonna feel that much hungrier to prove that he's worth the money.
So no doubt.
It's the right kind of guy to give an extension like this. He is not going to drop off and work one single bit.
Here's Derek Stingley Jr. on the Pivot podcast earlier this offseason. It's actually Super Bowl week in Louisiana, where Stingley is from, on him wanting to be a Texan for the rest of his career.
How important is it for you to get a deal done and remain a Houston Texan?
Well, I mean, I want to stay in Houston the rest of my career, really. The deal, you know, the deal going to happen when it happens. You know, we still got to take care of business. I still got to work out. I still got to be there. Nico Collins, when he was doing all that last year, every day I'm in there working out, I see him working out. So, that's the standard that we got over there with the Texans. So that's what I'm going to try to keep on doing.
All right, so that was Stingley. You know, he wants to be here. It's really interesting, Seth, to go back and look at the journey to arrive at this contract, where the night that Stingley was picked third overall, that was, I don't want to say it was out of nowhere, but that was like Stingley was like, if it was a horse race to see who the Texans were taking with that third pick in the draft back in 2022, Stingley was like the horse coming up on the outside at the very end. Like it was mildly surprising, I think, that Stingley ended up being the guy, only because, to your point, he had been injured for the last 2 years he was at LSU. You know, until this past season, he hadn't played a full season of good football since his freshman year in college. And I guess that might be something that, as I say those things, maybe makes this contract a little scary. I like to think that maybe, you know, he figured some things out. His body stayed, you know, he played all 17 games last year. It's not for a lack of work that he had health issues. He's in the building there at NRG Stadium, according to Nick and others, every single day working out. He is a junkie when it comes to football and the things that go into being good at football. But I remember the night that he was drafted, and it was a little surprising it was Stingley, but I was cool with it. And I remember Nick in the war room that night, and there's video of this out there, him talking to Cal and Hannah and explaining the selection to them. And the one thing Nick said is, this is a guy that just doesn't grow on trees. You know, he's unique.
Well, I think that when you watch Stingley play, compared to a guy like Sauce Gardner, who's he's got a very grabby brand of football that sometimes comes and goes with its effectiveness depending on how the NFL is officiating or how they choose to officiate, that with Stingley, he's a pure cover cornerback. The way he operates, how comfortable he is, it just moving in 19 different directions out of his back pedal. He does a lot of things really, really well. And then his ball tracking is what really puts him over the top. Yep. His ability to make plays on the ball like he's a receiver himself. A lot of times, especially if he's got a receiver figured out, he's running the receiver's route better than the receiver himself is. It's all those things where you just look at it, and when you watch him play, you say, oh, that's a true professional cornerback. And it's just a matter of keeping him healthy.
Yep.
The big thing is, in his ability to stay healthy, I think that all of those things that sometimes you hear younger players learning about how to recover, how to handle the week, just how much should you exert yourself versus overdoing it, all of that. Hopefully he's learned a lot of that over the first couple seasons, and that it wasn't just dumb luck that he was healthy this year.
Yeah.
But on the professionalism side of it and the work side of it, he is kind of like it will be with Will Anderson, I think. He's everything you want in terms of a guy who just lives, eats, and breathes football.
Yeah.
And the money's going to be really nice for him, but you've never gotten the sense that that's what's driving him, that more than anything, I think he just wants to be a great cornerback.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. And I will go back to the detail I had pointed out a few minutes ago, that the contract that Myles Garrett signed last week, where he became clearly the highest paid non-quarterback in the sport at $40 million a year. Immediately, articles coming out, an article in The Athletic coming out about maybe how he's been lacking some professionalism over the last couple years. Late to meetings, not going to mandatory stuff like that. I listened in on Cleveland this morning, and Myles Garrett got asked about that at his press conference last Friday about this extension, and he next questioned the guy. And,
oh, really?
Yes, and he next questioned the guy, and the hosts on the Cleveland Morning Show, Ken Carman and Anthony Lima, in breaking down that audio, made a great point, which is nobody has come out on social media, Myles Garrett's teammates, and said it's not true. We see that all the time. No reporters, no teammates have come out and said that it's not true. And Jason Lloyd, who wrote the article, is clearly getting it from somebody who is probably still in the building with Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
I bring this up not because we're not Cleveland radio, I get it. But Derek Stingley Jr.'s contract lives in the same neighborhood as Myles Garrett's contract. And you hear not a peep about, nor from Derek Stingley Jr. about anything. This is a dream player. Other than the medicals, before last year, this is a dream player. And hopefully the medicals from 2024 are now the trend, not the exception.
Yeah, this is, in terms of how do you approach the offseason, obviously this is going to create, I'm guessing, not any cap issues this year. Typically, these are extensions that kick in a year down the road or so.
Might create cap space this year, honestly.
Right, so it might actually create a little bit of cap space this year. Yeah. I do, on the Caserio side of things, I really do like his practicality, I think, in the way he handles extensions and contracts like this. It's that you're exposing yourself to some risk because you're paying a boatload of money, but it's manageable in the short term. And for any player, not just Derek Stingley with his injury history, any player at all, if you get great play out of him over the course of 3 years, so whether it's Derek Stingley or Nico Collins or Danielle Hunter or anybody else, it's manageable, and you know what you're dealing with. It's the opposite of kicking the can down the road in the way that a lot of teams do, where they sometimes, like the Browns have been doing now, where they just keep kicking the can down the road, and it gets harder and harder to manage. Mm-hmm. If you've got a good quarterback and you're getting good play out of him, and if CJ can develop into that, that's the way to stay consistently competitive every year.
So the Texans nail down and get a deal nailed down with one of what I clearly they view as one of their tentpole cornerstone players here for this franchise. Is this contract a tell for two things? Immediately when I look at this, I see tells on one thing for sure. And a second thing I want to bounce off Seth, and we will get to that coming up next.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at AlmaSed.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.